Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life. And I hope that you are all doing well. It's interesting. We have the rain this week in the evening. I'm really okay with it. We water all our plants, and then we get to play in the day. I kind of like that. So anyways, I am a little over the rain, but if it comes that way, it's all good. And I'm just keeping everybody safe out there. I do want to remind you to follow us all the way through our social to make sure that you are getting our emails and our newsletters. And if you want to be inspired, please share us with other people. And also, I want you to make sure that if you miss any part of our show, you can listen on our podcast. And that is The Kim Pagano Show on every platform. We have a great show for you today. And before that, I always like to start my show with something uplifting. And I thought this is really perfect. As many of you know, that I'm doing business coaching, media coaching. And I think it's so fair to say, play by the rules, but be ferocious. Do something that they know they want to pick you to do business with. So really, if you need some tips, you need some lifting, you need some extra support in your business, reach out to me. I would love to get on a Zoom call with you. And so with that, you can either send me an email at kim@kpshow.org, or you can call me at 805-419-0008. Again, I am so glad that you are starting your day in a positive way here on The Kim Pagano Show. And we hope that we bring you the brighter side of life and that you're listening, learning, and laughing. That's what life's all about. With that, I have the honor of bringing Ron Baker on. His newest book is Bright Light, Big Empty, and A Journey of Profound Awakening. And in the eyes of the public, Ron Baker has already become an international success, performing over 60 lead roles in operas, Broadway shows around the world. However, on the inside, he still felt empty and insecure, and something important was missing from his life. And we're going to find out a little bit more about that and when it was. So again, many of us are at our top of our game, feeling successful. And sometimes, what is it that's still missing? I love this. And hopefully we're going to learn a little bit more about this. So again, if you're just waking up, we're so grateful that you are here. Let's welcome Ron Baker. Ron, welcome. And thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit before we even dive into your book. What is biogenetics therapist, and what is that? Tell us about that.
Yep, I am now, after my performing career, I shifted to becoming a bioenergetic therapist. So bio is body, energetic is the energy that moves through the body. And so what I do is I help people understand the challenges that they carry in fear, shame, judgment, that kind of thing. The challenges that we carry can cause us to defend and block the energy flow through our bodies. And so I help people understand how to open that up and create much more vitality and health and passion for the things that are truly important to us. So
I love
that's
it
the long
because
and short of it.
Ron, we are all energy, correct? That's all we are. So when you
big
walk
time.
Into a room and you don't feel the energy, like, that's something you could teach us. Like, how do we create our own energy so that we're not looking for other people's energy?
Well, the bottom line is when we're little kids and we don't receive the nurturing that we need on 9 different levels, according to the system I teach, we end up defending and blocking, and we shut off our energy. Of course, it's still moving to some degree, or we wouldn't be alive. But just even the thoughts that we go through every day is a movement of energy through our body. But if we just get on a hamster wheel and repeat the same limitations, the same behaviors, the same thought patterns, then it's hard for our lives to evolve into the blossoming of more and more of self. And when we don't get that nurturing, we tend to stay focused outside ourselves, like going after the initial performing career that I did, or like you referred to your listeners, being at the top of their games in their careers, but something is missing. And that is an intimate journey or awareness of the internal journey that we're all on. And teaching people how to get in touch with that makes the hugest difference in how meaningful our lives become.
Wow, I love that. And now, how did you become this kind of a therapist? What changed for you? Or is it, I almost want to say, if you're doing the same thing and getting the same result, it's not working. So you have to switch something up.
Yeah. So I basically was making my debut at Lincoln Center in New York City, which is pretty much the most well-known performing arts center in the world. And I was making my debut there. The debut went really well. And I still felt like the little kid from North Carolina whose father never said a single thing to him growing up. And so I was like, okay, clearly my achievements are not going to give me the sense of self or rescue me from the wound that I'm carrying. And so I began, as I would travel around the world, to seek out teachers from every perspective, from every culture, from every healing modality that I could get my hands on. They all agreed what was missing was an intimacy with my inner self, the essence of who I am as a person. And I had to agree. So I basically shifted my perspective in a big way, or my approach in a big way, and I began to get to know my inner self. And the more I learned to apply certain tools that made a big difference for me, the more I began sharing with others what I was discovering, and they too began to make big shifts. And so I thought, okay, I need to get the training so that I can do this on an official level. And so I trained as a bioenergetics therapist because it most aligned with the kind of approach I wanted to bring to other people. And then it blossomed so fully that I ended up creating a school of self-mastery, which I have been leading, which has guided thousands of people over the last 25 years.
Wow. Congratulations to you. I mean, that is awesome. Okay, so let me ask you, do you have any mentors? Is that how you learned, or you went through classes, or talk to us about that?
Well, I had mentors who were bioenergetics therapists, and I did my training officially through them. But now I'm going to go metaphysical on you and tell you that when I made my debut at Lincoln Center, I ended up meeting a person who was on a similar journey named Robert. And 3 months after I met Robert, he ended up having his very first experience of being a trance channel and brought through the energy of Archangel Gabriel. Now, I had never experienced channeling. I had no idea what it was. All I knew was the information that started to come through was the most specific, nurturing, empowering information I'd ever heard in my life. And now, 33 years later, thousands of hours of education later, I still am not so focused on the phenomenon of channeling, but the education has been everything that I wanted from the time I was a child. And it has allowed me to awaken my own gifts and help so many other people to do the same, awakening their most authentic self, working through the specific challenges that get set up in all our lifetimes. We each have, as I've learned through Gabriel, a specific soul journey, and our soul set up the primary curriculum for our lifetime early on. And then if we have the tools and the education and learn how to fill in the gaps of nurturing that we're missing, 100% of the people make such distinct, continual forward moves into more and more of that awakening self. So there's a long answer to your question.
Wow, I love that. Okay, so talk to us about your urgings, I guess, of Gabriel. What were those experiences like in I guess, a conversation or inner knowing? What did that do for you?
Well, can you imagine talking to the wisest person who has a clear, practical answer to every question that you get, that you have? And I realized that when you get one answer, it opens up 50 more questions. And the continued discovery of very human, personal, practical, even scientific answers to my questions about wanting to understand self, wanting to understand life and how it flows through us, and how we can create more and more fulfillment. Because the bottom line is, it doesn't matter what particular path we're on, to get in touch with our most authentic self, what matters most fully to me or to you, and to learn how to open up the energy and create an intimacy with those things, is what makes our lives truly fulfilled. And what I had no idea is that the potential never stops. I've been doing this for 33 years, as I shared, and my life has continued to get better and better and better, and my clients end up saying the same thing.
I love it. And for our listeners and for myself, I want to just see if I completely understand channeling and how it's done. And, you know, talk to us about that.
Well, if you imagine a century ago, it would have been considered a miracle that you'd be able to turn the knob on a little box and information and energy and voices and music was going to be able to travel through thin air and be picked up by a receiver in this little box called a radio.
Mm-hmm.
That is exactly what channeling is. The intention of another being, in this case, it's Archangel Gabriel, but it can be the same for anyone. When you think of that person that you haven't talked to in 20 years, and all of a sudden you feel them in your presence, and the phone rings 5 minutes later, and that person is calling you out of the blue. That was your receiver picking up on the energy or the intention from that person, and you all of a sudden are focused in that direction, and then you can make the connection. Well, the cell phone is exactly the same thing. We're picking up all this information and voices through thin air. My phone is not connected to a single thing, and yet I'm talking to you. And so higher beings can do that with us, and we can learn how to get still and receive the information that is coming to us.
Very interesting. And now, so it's not somebody that has passed on. It's somebody that is still alive, correct?
The person who was channeling, he has passed on. However, I discovered about 2 or 3 years after he began to channel that even though I received very differently than he did, that I also awakened that gift in myself. And so I was able to continue all of the conversations with Gabriel and continue to bring messages from him. However, when I teach my clients, most of them don't even know that I have been taught through many sources, including an archangel. What is more important is learning to communicate with each other and then to inspire the human, very real, grounded capacity to nurture, connect, and be intimate with one another on so many levels. And so that's what I would say.
So let me ask you, and for any of our listeners that are just waking up with us, starting your day in a positive way, one, we are so grateful for you to be here. I know I have listeners for years and years and years, and I love that you keep tuning in, because the guest that I pick is what I love, and I feel like it is definitely school on air. And Ron, what you're telling us right now, I'm like, oh my gosh, I had a calling. I lost a daughter. Well, it would be almost it would have to be almost 30 years ago. And I felt like I had a channeling with her. And he basically told me that she was okay. And in my wildest dreams, I would never, like you said, even ever thought of this. And then it happened. And I haven't had something since. And I don't know if I've closed down or what, but I'm definitely more open to that. And so the thing that I know it's all about manifesting. A lot of people call it manifesting. Is that the same as channeling?
Well, life is constantly moving through us. And so we're all channeling the life force that moves through us. And whatever your soul wants us to know, whatever the soul wants us to know, it's like that is what is inspired. And all of a sudden, we'll just be interested in something that we never were interested in before. Or we just have an idea and we don't know where it came from. We have all of these clues and hints with life trying to move through us, and we would be channeling that life force. However, most people, as we started out this conversation, end up so blocked and defended by the early experiences in our lives that we don't know how to be in touch with the inner self. Mm-hmm. And so what is super important if we want to be more in touch with the messages and the inspirations that are trying to come is that we get with someone who knows how to teach us to connect to that inner self, how to open up the energy, how to flow, even if you just want to create more health and you're not really interested in messages from your guides and that kind of thing. As one example, using these energy flow techniques that I teach, I've only been sick 2 days in 25 years. That,
wow, thank God,
proactive
for that.
Health is profound.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many benefits from learning to connect and awaken the energy that wants to move through our body.
So let's go back to your book for a second, and thank you for all of that. That's just amazing. Of course, your book is Bright Lights, Big Empty, A Journey of Profound Awakening. Bright lights, meaning, I guess, tell me what
well, there are
means.
Many meanings, but the first meaning was to get the glamour of success being under the bright lights of Broadway and opera stages around the world.
Okay.
And realizing I was still so empty. Yes.
Okay.
Bright lights,
okay.
Big empty. Yep.
Okay. Awesome. Very cool. Okay. And of course, your book is broken down into four categories, correct?
Yes.
Or sections, I guess you would say.
Yep. Yeah.
So talk to us about that. It's what? The call, child, adult, and soul. Why did you choose that format?
I chose that format because it is literally the map of our journey. So the call was the wake-up call that I got performing at Lincoln Center and having that revelation about being so disconnected from myself. That, to me, is the soul getting in touch with me, giving me a clear message that something is missing. And then I went on the journey to fill in the missing gap. And that equals moving through the journey of reclaiming the child part where all of my challenges were set up by the soul, showing up to become an empowered adult who learns to nurture self, who learns to fill in the gap, responding to the child, and that as you heal that journey, and I take you through my journey, showing you exactly how each of us can do the same thing for ourselves, eventually that opens you up to the highest potential of self, which is an integration of soul in a direct way. It's a very exciting time that we live in. Our world is accelerating faster than it ever has. If you just look at the last 30 years compared to the 3,000 years before that, we have all of a sudden exploded into awareness and information. We're in conversations we've never been in. Just the internet itself allows us to be connected on a global scale. Well, there's much more going on behind the scenes that's making all of this possible. And that is an awakening of soul that is attempting to take place in all our lives. So I go through the whole journey of healing the child, claiming the empowered adult, and then even moving into an understanding of the initiations, I call them, of soul consciousness.
Very cool. Very cool. I know that, oh my gosh, I got to have you back because this is really interesting to me. And I think that there's so much more we could talk about. Would you mind coming back?
Oh, I would love to. I would love
okay,
to.
Okay, great.
Well, how an introduction of a lot of pieces.
thank you. And follow me on social and, you know, let's connect. But also, how do our listeners find your book?
You can go to my website, which is ronbaker.net, or you can just go directly to Amazon.
Well, congratulations. Is this your first book?
It is the first one that became a bestseller.
There you go. Congratulations again. So good
Thank
for you.
Thank you so much.
I love that. Yeah, I think it is definitely something that is so useful. I think we're all running around sometimes not really knowing who we are, and it could really help us in so many ways. I'm really interested in this. So again, Ron, thank you so much for being a guest here on the Kim Pagano Show. Please share our show with everyone and also download our podcast.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you, Kim.
Okay. You're welcome. All right. We are going to take a really quick break, and then we'll come back with our next guest. And I'm really excited to talk with her, Dan Yeager. And, of course, how to promote your book once you've written it. And this is going to be really interesting also. So stay with me. You're listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out survivalswimwithkim.com. That's survivalswimwithkim.com or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the beautiful Santa Rosa Valley, is a locally owned, multi-regional classic Italian restaurant with an extensive wine list. You'll be greeted with warm, friendly, attentive service. Wednesday evenings from 3 to 8 p.m., Manhattan of Camarillo offers a signature three-course menu for $25. For a bit more casual atmosphere, check out Trivia Thursdays in their beer garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. If you're into live music, come see some of Ventura County's premier local talent where you can dance the night away on a large dance floor. Manhattan of Camarillo's private wine and banquet room holds up to 40 people. Make your reservations today or book your next private party. Dinner is served Tuesday through Saturday with easy access off the 101 at Pleasant Valley Road.
Call today for a reservation at 805-388-5550.
That's 805-388-5550. Or go to themanhattanofcamarillo.com.
Are you looking for a way to support cancer patients and survivors in your community? Cancer Support Community, Valley Ventura, Santa Barbara invites you to join their 5th annual Hope Walk on June 10th at Cal Lutheran University. Free registration is now open. You can register, join a team, and donate. This event is a great opportunity to honor cancer survivors, remember those lost to cancer, and come together as a community to support those affected by cancer. For more, visit cancersupportbvsb.org or call 805-379-4777. That's 805-379-4777.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses, or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
The Kim Pagano Show is proud to partner with the eWomen Network as they continue to help millions of women entrepreneurs achieve their goal of $1 million in annual revenue. The eWomen Network accelerated events take place the first Wednesday of each month at the beautiful Los Robles Greens in Thousand Oaks. The event will include lunch with wonderful speakers talking about relevant topics for your business and many opportunities to network with potential clients and make connections. Come join the fun and elevate your business. The eWomen Network only requires one lifetime membership fee and a monthly fee to stay active on their website. Come find out how the eWomen Network is different than the other networking groups. Apply now on their website at eWomenNetwork.com/chapters/Calabasas-665. That's eWomenNetwork.com/chapters/Calabasas-665.
Did you know anger management is available to you? Do you live with stress every day? Are you driving, feeling stressed, possibly speeding? There are stress management techniques available to you to help you reduce stress and the risk of a court-ordered anger management class. TNT Anger Management Services can help you. The consultation is free. Call TNT today, not tomorrow, at 818-264-6255. That's 818-264-6255. Or go to their website at tntams.com. That's tntams.com.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. I do also want to say thank you to all my sponsors out there. I really appreciate you being a part of our show. And please, if you can use them for any of your services, I really appreciate that. Also, if you have a business and you would like to get your business on here with a campaign, please reach out to us. And of course, that is kim@kpshow.org. Or you can call us directly at 805-419-0008. And of course, I'm excited to have my next guest on, and Jan Yeager. Her book is How to Promote Your Book. And of course, writing a great book is the easy part, is basically what Jan says, but getting people to buy that book is wicked. And she's going to get, I call it getting eyes on your awesomeness. Okay. But we are going to talk a little bit about her book. And of course, Yeager brings extensive experience to this comprehensive guide to book promotion. She's also a coach, a speaker, an author of more than 50 books in many different disciplines. And Yeager writes clearly, authoritatively, and providing sound advice. I am so excited to bring Jan on. Jan, welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you. And I do want to correct you, though. It's not that it's easy to write a good book, but it's a different type of challenge.
Right. Well, you said it's actually the easy part. I guess I should have said it that way. It's the easy part, but it's not that. So the biggest part of it is getting that out after you've already written it, correct?
Well, especially now because, you know, for better or worse, there are more writers than there are readers. It's mm-hmm. become the thing to do. And to
the market is saturated. It's just like podcasts. I used to have my podcast for 17 years, and now there's a zillion podcasts. So yes, we are very saturated, correct?
Exactly. Well, not so much that we're saturated, but people are overwhelmed by choices, and that makes it that much harder to stand out. And it's interesting because I recently finished my own memoir, Looking Backward, Going Forward. And I was thinking about when I was in my 20s and I traveled the world doing research and writing, I was such a rarity. And now it's just so common for people to jump on the plane and go to these exotic places and write their journals and their memoirs. So book promotion is more important than ever before. And not only that, when I started out, I was on the Today Show, and you had 5 million eyeballs. Now, of course, it's still many, many millions, but there's, you know, 100 stations pulling people's attention. So Right. Once again, you know, you got to promote, even though it's hard work.
It is hard work. Yes, you're absolutely right. And as a radio host, I get it. You know, you have to have compelling, you know, information on how you can help them and why should they choose you. And I think that that's, you know, the biggest thing. You have to, as we just had a meeting, disrupt. You have to disrupt them from what they're doing so that they want to work with you.
Sure, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, so I love that.
It's important for people to know that it doesn't matter if it's fiction, children's book, poetry, nonfiction. It's just a question of, hey, I that sounds interesting. I want to pursue that. So that's the challenge. And the good news is that social media didn't exist before, so
correct,
that now you can, for a relatively inexpensive to free, let people know about your book and yourself. But once again, it is time consuming and there's lots of other people doing the same thing.
Right, right. Let me ask you a question. First of all, 50 books. Kudos to you. Oh my gosh. Okay, that is incredible.
Thank you. Someone on LinkedIn, a writer I know, Bob Bly, he just announced his 107th book.
Always
someone who has more books than you.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. And now, but why did you write this book, How to Promote Your Book?
Well, I've been doing book promotion for my whole career. I started off at Grove Press. I had exciting experiences promoting other people's books, and then I did my own book promotions, cross-country tours, and I realized that I luckily know a lot about how to make it work, and also I was on the Oprah show, and it really made a difference, and then I was on some other major shows, and it wasn't as effective, and I realized that part of it was, you know, you got to connect with the interviewer. So, Kim, you and I have to connect.
I already feel a connection, so I am really excited. And you know what? I just really quick kudos and, you know, out to your publisher, Anthony. He's amazing. And so, you know, Square One Publishers, correct?
Sure, sure. Yeah, I have a funny backstory with Square One. Rudy, the publisher, he actually was at my Sweet 16.
There you go.
But when I decided to submit the book's ideas, I've done two with him. The first one was How to Self-Publish Your Book, and then the second one is How to Promote Your Book. I decided not to ask my cousin, who was the way that I met Rudy initially, to make the overture. I directly contacted him because I didn't want it to have anything to do with my past. I wanted it to be based on the first book, and then the success of the first book led to the second book.
Well, there you go. I love that. So let me ask you, first of all, in your book, or well, let's just even back up a second. Is it better to publish a book, a self-publish, or go through a, you know, a
publishing, well, it's
an
interesting
editor.
You said that, because just today I posted on LinkedIn that my new toy is a high-speed scanner, and I've been scanning a lot of old emails. I'm one of the few people in the world who actually prints out emails. So I printed, I scanned in.
Okay, back up. Why do you print them out? But that's very cool. Are you writing a book?
Well, I print it out because over the years, it's just too hard to find things in your, you know, in your
email list,
you know, your emails. Whereas if you print it out, you can file it. So this was an email to my former editor, and I pitched her two book ideas, and she didn't want to pursue them. But what was exciting was to realize, and that's what I said on LinkedIn this morning, that I brought out those two books through my own company. So I did a book with Simon & Schuster, but they didn't want to do those two additional books. But my own company did them. And the end line in my LinkedIn post was, it's important to write and publish good books. Who publishes it is not as important.
Okay, that's interesting. Okay. So let me ask you this, okay? Is there a mistake that people can make right off the bat? Let's get them so they don't make any mistakes.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you asked that.
Thank you.
Because we're able now, in the old days, it took literally 12 months to 18 months to publish a book through traditional ways. Now, through print on demand and your retailers that are also publishers, you can literally publish a book within 72 hours of submitting it.
Wow.
Unfortunately, that's a mistake because
You
need at least 4 to 6 months to develop those promotional tentacles. And some of the pre-publication reviewers, such as Publishers Weekly, Library Journal, who can really help sell thousands of books if you get a good review, they require a 4-month lead time. And you can't have the book out and then reviewed. So letting it get out into the world too quickly is probably the number one mistake I'm seeing.
Wow. That's a big one. I mean, yeah, you can't go backwards, so you can't retract it.
Sure, and right now I'm working with a coaching client, and he's at the point of finalizing his manuscript after 2 years. And I said, you know, now's the time when you have to go. He relocated from the East Coast to Florida. I said, now's the time you got to go into the local library. You got to chat up the librarian. You got to tell them about your book. You got to say, hey, you know, it's going to be out in 6 months to 8 months. And you got to get people, you got to go to the local businesses and get involved and get people excited. Find out who the local reporters are, the local TV stations. And that takes time. And people care about people that they have had. You know, this is something management has found in all fields, not just writing, that when people are involved in the process, they tend to care about the outcome more. So you got to get them involved. Not just your mother, not just your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your siblings or your friends. You got to get the world to care.
Wow, I like that a lot. So let me ask you this. So you were on a TV and in some of, what is the Joe Franklin show? You were on TV for that.
I don't know if you're probably not old enough to remember Joe Franklin and Memory Lane. That was a big show in the 70s.
How did you come about that?
Well, that's a great story because I did not have a book yet. And that's another mistake that people make. They think they can only start getting those feelers out there, getting the experience with promotion once they have a book. I did not have a book yet. I was working on a book. I started it as a senior in college. And I had amassed all this knowledge, and I just wanted to share it. So I literally... this goes back. I literally looked in the phone book. Now you'd look in LinkedIn, or there's a service that can give you celebrity contact information. And I called up Joe Franklin, who was in the phone book, and I said, I have been working on this book. I'd love to tell your audience about it. He said, well, come over and let's discuss it. And I went over to his office on 42nd and Broadway, and he liked what I had to say. And 2 days later, I was in his show taped with Selma Carpenter and Teresa Brewer, two celebrities.
Wow.
It was amazing. And as I said, I did not have a book. And luckily, there was a photographer on set who was nice enough to take a picture, so I was able to
use that
picture
in your book
for a time immemorial. But I've also been on the Today Show. Diane Sawyer is back in the news again. She's interviewing Jeremy Remmer. She interviewed me for my book, When Friendship Hurts.
How did you get on those shows?
Well, what happened was I was interviewed extensively in a New York Times article on friendship, problematical friendships. And about a week after the book was published, or no, a couple of weeks, I got a call from the producer at Good Morning America, and she apologized for taking so long to follow up on the New York Times article, but the tragic one-year anniversary of 9/11 was happening, so everyone was focused on that. Mm-hmm. So she set up the interview. So that came about through the producer contacting me. But a fun anecdote is The View. I wrote to the producer of The View, and I said, at that point I self-published my first book on friendship, Friendship. I said, I'd love to tell your audience about what I've learned about friendship over the years in my dissertation. And believe it or not, within a short period of time, I think it was a day or two, I got a phone call. And they said, we want to do a whole show on friendship.
Oh, my God. So you've
been
really
amazing. And I'm going to get my VHS tape digitized because that show still exists. And it's still very, very much in the news. So I'd love to get that segment on the Internet.
Absolutely. So let me ask you, how easy is it to get on those shows now?
Oh, wow. That's why I had to write the book, How to Promote Your Book, because it isn't. Because those avenues have pretty much closed to anyone who isn't a celebrity or a name or a best-selling author. But the good news is that there are lots of other opportunities. You mentioned podcasts. Podcasts are hot. And some of them have literally millions of downloads.
Right.
In addition to that, you have the ability to send out free or low-cost press releases that are seen by literally thousands of magazines, online magazines, print magazines, word of mouth. I just had an article published on word of mouth. It's still one of the top ways. I know TikTok's very, very controversial, but one of the authors I interviewed for the article, she did a very short thing on TikTok about her book, and she got 2 million downloads and sold several thousand books instantly. Instagram, it has a Bookgram version, so if TikTok is too controversial, there's Instagram. Pinterest. There's just so many. Facebook Live is free, and that's
now,
a way
do you
to get
share
to
all of this
grow
in
an
your
audience.
Book?
And
Andy?
You know, it's I know it sounds old-fashioned, but you still need a website.
Question. Yeah.
A lot of people think they don't need it. It's old-fashioned. No, even if all the website is your bio, your book, your credentials, how to get in touch with you, that's still important. Because one thing I found out the hard way is if the media does want you, they want you this minute. And if you're not easy to find, they're on to the next.
Exactly. That's very good right there.
A website, drjanyager.com.
There you go. Good. And mine too, kimpaganoshow.com. I love that. Let me ask you a question, Jan. Does this, in your book, do you have all these things in there? Do you share how to put together a press release?
Oh, definitely. How to write a press release, what you need in your press kit. As you know, Anthony sent you questions that we created that you could ask. That needs to go in your press kit. Your author photo, your basic, what they call metadata, the information about the book. Right. All that needs to be in your press release and your press kit. And
right.
that's in the book, How to Promote Your Book. It's gotten wonderful reviews and also input from authors. I interviewed over 100 authors and surveyed them. And so it's not just my own experiences, but it's also based on those that I've coached and my experiences, you know, working and publishing. And, you know, and another important thing to point out, don't make the interview the first time, the interview for the public, the first time you do it, because this happened to someone I know, and it was very embarrassing. Because
right.
you need, especially when you do television, even if it's cable, you need to learn to talk in sound bites. So if you can't afford to pay for a media trainer, at least do it in front of friends and family, you know,
right.
get videotape yourself, you know, do it on Zoom and see yourself just so you are not doing it for the first time. I also heard a fascinating speaker once that when you do something at least once, the second time you do it, it's been embedded in your brain. So
that's right.
it's
that's
not
very
like,
good.
You know,
I actually,
the first time.
I do media training, and because I've had so many guests on my show, and it's their moment, and they miss it because they talk in circles. They haven't, you know, practiced it. They didn't get everything out, and so I love to work with people like that. So I
no,
think that's another
wonderful.
Great thing.
I'm so glad
yeah.
you do media training. It's so important. And as seasoned as I am, I have not only done media training, but, you know, not only given media training, but I also get media training because
right.
it's so important to keep yourself brushed up and, you know, to know that, you know, what's new and to be fresh. So don't feel those who may do a lot of speaking or interviews that they don't need media training. It's really very, very helpful, and it pays back in so many ways.
I love it. Jan, we are at our time. I want to bring you back because you were so interesting, and I have, like, so many things that I could talk to you about. How do
I'd love to come back. I'd love to be there in person, but barring that, we'll do it by phone again.
There you go. How to Promote Your Book is Jan Yeager. And again, please definitely follow me and reach out to me on social and download our podcast. And let's talk again. I will be in touch with you.
I'd love that. Thanks so much. Take care.
Thank
Have
you.
A great day.
You too. All right. We are just going to move right into our next guest. And of course, that is Christopher Rice. He has written a series, the Sapphire Cove series. Christopher, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Talk to us a little bit about yourself and, well, I guess your newest book, The Sapphire Storm.
It is the third in a series, but these are romance novels, and the tradition in romance is that each book in a series can traditionally be read as a standalone. The Sapphire Cove world, if you will, is a series of stories set at a Southern California beach resort, modeled after a couple real resorts in Orange County. They're all sort of love stories between men, really. And each book is a different relationship and a different happily ever after, and it deals with sort of different topics and themes. And Sapphire Storm is what they call an enemies to lovers romance. It's two men who set out to destroy each other in the beginning and eventually realize that they are actually
meant for each
other. And I love stories. Yeah.
You kind of, I mean, Lotus, White Lotus, everybody kind of knows that. Did you kind of take it off of that?
Well, you know, the White Lotus comparisons have been interesting. No, to answer your question, no, I didn't. I actually wrote the first book, I believe, before White Lotus came out. I didn't publish it, but it had been finished. This is a much happier, sunnier take on the resort industry than White Lotus. White Lotus is a pretty dark show. There's some definite soap opera elements, particularly in Sapphire Storm, and it deals with Hollywood and celebrity and lies and sham marriages, things like that. White Lotus is dark.
Unfortunately, that's kind of where our world is right now. And even though, you know, on my show, I talk about the brighter side of life. First of all, I understand your mom, Anne Rice, several books, a New York Times bestseller. Is that where you got your inspiration, or is this like your personal gift that you also have too?
You know, I like to say that I became a writer because I failed at being an actor in college. I went off to college believing that I was going to take their theater department by storm, and nobody at their theater department wanted me to take them by storm. I didn't get called back for a single audition in my freshman year, and I went off to my dorm room and I started writing plays, is really what I started doing. And the idea, I think, was still holding on to the fantasy that I was going to act in my own material. But I discovered this outlet that became so precious to me, which was slipping into my own world. And nobody could take that away from me. They could not publish it. They could not read it. They could do whatever. But the time that I got to spend, I should say, leaving reality and entering my own fictional world became my outlet. That's really what happened. But if you had said to me in junior year of high school that you're going to publish this many novels someday, I would have said, I don't think so. It's too much work. I don't have the patience. I'm too out there. I'm too social. All those things. You never know where you're going to turn up. You just sort of have to go where life takes you.
I love that. And how many do you have?
I'm looking around my office right now. I'm counting. You know, I'm over 10 or 11 novels. If you count the novellas I've written, I think the number gets higher. But my first book, A Density of Souls, came out in 2000. I've been publishing regularly ever since, and I've worked in a variety of different genres. The romance genre is pretty new to me. So the Sapphire Cove series, which I publish as C. Travis Rice, we're three books into that one, but I'm planning to keep on going.
I always love asking this question, how long it takes you to write a book.
I like to say it depends on the book. That's kind of a cop out answer. I know.
I know. Thanks.
If you factor in the time from when the idea first comes to you to the time where you actually finish copy editing, that can sometimes be years, because ideas will sometimes pop up before they're really ready and they need a while to cook and gestate. But when I start writing, it's about a year and a half. And sometimes it's been shorter than that. I think Sapphire Storm, when you get a world like Sapphire Cove that you've built and that you can go back to with new stories, and a lot of the foundation is laid in terms of what the resort looks like and who has what job and all that sort of stuff, then you can really get rolling. That's exciting. You can start putting out stories faster than you would if you were rebuilding the architecture of everything each time out.
First of all, where do we find your book?
Well, I like to say the Sapphire Cove books are available wherever ebooks are sold, but you can request them through your traditional bookstore, can also order them. They are, you know, romance is becoming an increasingly digital market because the appetite for it is so huge, and the readers are binge readers. They read a book a day sometimes. Some of the romance readers are so devoted.
Have you always been an advocate reader?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Always my nose was buried in a book.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, cool. Okay. So what are we going to find? Give us like a little highlight of what we're going to find and who's your main character. And
you know, I like to say this is an enemies to lovers romance, that you're going to find two men who set out to destroy each other and then discover their destiny to be together. Yeah. I was really excited to write a main character who was my age. A lot of romance fiction is about younger people in their 20s sort of figuring love out for the first time. But I decided to write about a middle-aged gay man as one of the heroes who feels like he's kind of being erased. It's something that we all deal with around aging, particularly out here in Los Angeles. You know, we feel like over a certain age, we no longer exist for a certain group of people. Introducing him to a hero who's much younger and who goes after him for all the wrong reasons to get revenge, and having them fall into a relationship together, it required a storyline that was maybe the most soap operatic of any of them so far, which I really enjoyed. I mean, it's a romance and a love story, but it talks about Hollywood, it talks about celebrity, and it talks about the sacrifices that go into those jobs. And with Roman Walker, the younger of the two heroes, he's a fitness celebrity, and he's just young enough not to have really experienced the limit of what comes from making a life entirely about how you look and how young you are. Having him go on a sort of growing up process was really exciting.
Are you writing about kind of like any of your experiences as I hear you talking
always,
about this?
Always. Okay. I think you always are. You know, you have to, that's your way in. I think writers are always, like actors who sort of, look for the past experiences they can draw on to give a performance credibility. Writers, I think, are doing the same thing.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, radio hosts, okay, we're always looking for amazing guests that can share tidbits on how we learn more about ourselves, too. You know, we're all trying to explore and have that wisdom that we get every day from other people and from ourselves. So I love it. Yours is that inner wisdom that you're pulling out and sharing it with the world. I'd love to, follow you, and please follow us and download our podcast. After we air on radio, then we go on to our podcast. Thank you for sharing your inner world with us. Is what I feel like for all the authors that I've had on my show. It is that inner wisdom that we're letting out and letting people in. So I love that. Yeah.
Thank you for having me. This was great.
You're welcome. All right. Enjoy, and give out your website one more time.
Sure. The website's ChristopherRiceBooks.com. And then the podcast I do with my business partner, Eric Shaw Quinn, is at thedinnerpartyshow.com.
We'll have to connect again. So thank you again. And definitely please share our show with everyone.
Absolutely.
Well, some really interesting guests. And I thank you so much for joining us. I'd love to tell your story, or at least help you get your story. Again, reach out to me at 805-419-0008. And of course, I end my shows with a moment of happiness. Business opportunities are like buses. There's always another one coming. With that, have a great rest of your weekend, and I'll talk to you next week.